Well, hey there, welcome back. For some of you listeners who've been around for a little while, how's that old song go? Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Sorry. But anyway, sometimes that carriage gets ahead of the horse. Come on, you'll see what I mean. Some marriages end in joy. Some end in court. But this marriage, it ended in tears. A regular tsunami of tears. This week's episode, A Widow's Tears. Margaret and Johnny were married for 37 years. And, like most marriages, the shine started to fade after 20. Oh, they still got along and everything. Compatible most times. But romance? That was a joke. Margaret made valiant efforts to save it, but their marriage teetered on the brink of disaster. As in so many marriages, it was the little things that signaled the erosion of affection. Take, for instance, how after Johnny shook it off on the seat that he always left down, it was always well sprinkled. Oh, and how he always missed the laundry hamper when he tossed his dirty underwear across the bedroom. Well, that dribbled seat, the underwear on the floor, Johnny just shrugged. Margaret will take care of it. And of course, she always did. For better or for worse, she'd mutter to herself. As the years went by, Johnny's delinquent behavior escalated to more serious matters. After Bobby, their youngest son, finally moved out of the basement, Johnny paid some neighbor kid $20 to mow his lawn, while he sat in his lazy boy, drinking beer and watching his Cardinals lose another game. As the beer cans piled up around him, Johnny just shrugged. Margaret will take care of it. She always did. Then there were his ashtrays, always overflowing with Camel butts. He had one next to the lazy boy and, of course, one in the bathroom. After all, how's a man supposed to sit down and read all those back issues of Sports Illustrated without a cigarette or three? But the ashtray that irritated Margaret most wasn't an ashtray at all. It was his greasy supper plate with three or four Camels stuffed out after he smoked his way through his pork chops. Yep, Margaret took care of it. Margaret finally took to sleeping in the S bedroom with the door locked. After Frank's routine of meeting up with his buddies for a couple of beers at Tilly's every Friday night, which then included Tuesday nights, then Thursday. He'd stagger home at 2 a.m. after Tilly, with her hands propped on her substantial hips, kicked him out. "If I was you, I'd pack my bags and leave his sorry ass," her best friend Thelma chastised her at their every Wednesday lunch. For the life of me, Margaret, I don't know what the hell keeps you hanging around," she mumbled with her mouth stuffed with a Death by Chocolate double mocha brownie. "Oh, Thelma, I don't know. It's that better or worse thing, I guess. I keep hoping he'll get his act together someday." Well, that someday would never come. Johnny eventually wore Margaret down. She just stopped trying to hold their marriage together as Johnny's stupid man tricks only got worse. His heavy drinking, heavy chain smoking, and daily diet of cheeseburgers at lunch escalated until finally, that fateful day, it all caught up with him. Margaret became the town's latest widow. You gotta hand it to Thelma. She stood by her dear friend and visited Margaret every Wednesday. And if Margaret was suffering an emotionally distraught week, Saturdays too. There, dear. Thelma tried to console her friend. She reached across the table and took her hand. Things will get better. You'll get used to it. You'll see. Hell, I will. There ain't no getting used to this. Oh, Maggie, if you'd have divorced him like I tried to tell you, you wouldn't be like this now. Come on, dry your tears. Try to put all this behind you. Thelma, you just don't get it, do you? Thelma saw the look in Margaret's eyes. This was not a good time to respond. These tears ain't for Johnny. They're for how that bastard judge gave me a life sentence.